Hello, my name is Hugo Prévost. Welcome to a new episode of SVGA, your PC Retro Gaming Podcast, or biannual episode, should I say. Very glad to see you again, Robert. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Hugo. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine as well. There has been a bit of turbulence earlier this year for me, but everything is slowly going back to normal. Speaking of normal, I think, you have a new normal in your hand. Would you like to talk about it?
Yes. Well, joining us today is my son, who is currently having a bottle. So if you're hearing any strange noises in the background or perhaps someone grabbing the microphone, that would be a six-month-old child.
That's quite all right. So last time we talked, I think it was in September last year, we did an episode on Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast, a game, of course, in the Star Wars universe. And we were supposed to talk about Duke Nukem 3D today. We will talk about Duke Nukem 3D soon, I hope. But something came out during that period of time, a game that was... Were you expecting that game to come out, Robert?
No, I mean, it hadn't really been on my radar, but... it kind of works pretty well for our podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially since, like I said, we've just talked about a Star Wars game, game with the same main character. So we are going back to the origins of Cal Katarn, the titular Star Wars badass, and we've played Dark Forces, but not. Only Dark Forces, but the remastered version that came out a few weeks ago now. And we've talked about it in the, once again, the Jedi Outcast episode. We told a few words about Dark Forces. You did, when we were still quite active on Twitter, you did a short review of Dark Forces.
Oh, that's right. I probably should have read that before we recorded. God, I did that entirely.
Okay. But I mean, today we have all the time. Well, we have a bunch of time before us to talk about it in more detail. Did you like Dark Forces Remastered?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I played it as a mid-90s first-person shooter was meant to be played. A lot of it on my couch, streamed from my PC to my Apple TV while playing with a PlayStation 5 controller. Classic gameplay style for a PC shooter from 1995.
Yeah. I mean, you could have used the arrow keys on your clunky IBM keyboard, but we'll let it pass this time.
I mean, I did play half the game on my keyboard like a normal person, but it was quite the experience to play it on like a big screen TV in your living room. Very, very different vibe.
Yeah, I can imagine. I did like the game a lot too. A few things here and there that we will discuss today, of course. But I have to say, it's when this remastered came out. First of all, it has been done by Night Dive Studios, which is a game studio specialized in reviving old games. They did a bunch of stuff. They did the new. They remade, not only remastered, not remastered, but they remade System Shock recently.
Right, yes. That one's on my list to play. I haven't gotten to it yet. But
yeah, it's on mine too. But so they did a bunch of stuff. I think they redid, was it them that redid Rise of the Triad 2 or someone else? I cannot remember. But so they have been remastering, redoing, republishing old 90s games. And so, yeah, when they announced it, I was intrigued because Dark Forces is very... I have very fond memories of Dark Forces, but having played it a few times during the last years, I've discovered that, well, it's some things are better left in the past sometimes. And was it the same for you?
Yeah, I would say yes and no. It's interesting because I had actually played the original recently and it still runs quite well. Like I didn't have many issues with, you know, resolutions or controls or anything like that of the original. So having the remaster, things were just a little smoother. Like they also redid all the cutscenes, which I think is very cool. Yeah. Those were maybe one of my favorite parts of the original. Like they have that sort of rendered mid-90s vibe, which I think was really cool. But they also mix in that sort of LucasArts 2D art style for like Darth Vader and some of the other cutscene type things. So to see those sort of redone was very cool. But I think it's really it's definitely a remaster. It's not like a remake, but they did a really good job, I think, of keeping the original style and the artwork and just making it, you know, you can play it on a 65-inch TV and it doesn't look like you're straining what the game was meant to do. Because I didn't actually try playing the original. I didn't try playing the original on the TV just to see if it would match up or how it would match up, but it played quite well. It seems like there was a lot of quality of life improvements there too, just in terms of the aiming, the moving, sort of the control layout was just like people play differently now than they did, you know?
Oh yeah.
30 years ago.
I mean, just having mouse look, for instance, is a game changer because once again, the game is, I'm very fond of this game. I remember keeping the disc with me, the CD with me, because at the time it was necessary to use the CD in order to play a game. So I had this CD case, which I took with me outside for the reason that I don't really understand today. So I had the Dark Forces CD and then just playing the game over and over again, talking about it with my friend in elementary school. But once again, playing it back recently, of course the graphics are dated. Of course, the game mechanics are a bit dated. Of course, the movement is a bit dated. And yes, if you use, I don't know if it's the Steam version, the GOG version, or we tried some kind of a mod recently too on that original version to get, like I said, mouse look to get a better experience. But once again, the game showed its limits because it's very much playable on a 14 inches monitor in 1997 with what would be today less powerful than my watch, probably.
Yes. I mean, when I first played it, I was at a friend's house and we played on a Gravis joystick.
Oh, wow.
which is not a very good way to play.
No.
But it didn't really matter because, you know, it was the mid-90s. And like, wow, a Star Wars game where you get to shoot stormtroopers? Like, let's go.
And that was crazy at the time. And for people, listeners that don't know Dark Forces, don't know the story of the game, basically, like I said before, you play as this today he's... He's not canon anymore, but still, he... Yeah.
Well, the first level makes it kind of difficult for them to make Kyle Katarn canon.
Yeah, exactly.
We can talk about that in a second.
So, the first level, basically, you are this mercenary working for the Rebel Alliance against the Empire, and your first mission is to get the plans for the Death Star, just before Episode 4, so just before A New Hope. And, years later, they decided they wanted to do a whole movie about it, and... obviously, just having one guy, one white male.
On an introductory level, making, seven stormtroopers guarding this thing. And he at one point says, like, that was almost too easy or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, yeah, I mean, it kind of was.
Exactly. But yeah, so years later, about 20 years later, they decided to do Rogue One, it's the qualities of Rogue One are debatable, maybe, but it gave us Endor, so I'll give them a pass.
Yes.
So you play as Cal Katarn, and after you steal the Death Star plans, episode 4 happens, and I don't know if the rest of the game, obviously, the rest of the game takes place before Darth Vader dies at the end of episode 6. And I understand that your son is distressed by this news, but he'll get, I believe he'll get over it over time. But yeah, so the rest of the game takes place between episode 4 and 6. And you accomplish a bunch of missions and you very quickly discover that the Empire has a new weapon, which is basically a bunch of killer robots called the Dark Troopers. And they are supposedly very, very hard to kill. That's debatable once again. But yeah, more resistant than Stormtroopers, more tough, more deadlier than Stormtroopers. Yeah. And eventually you pick up this tray. So where do they come from? Where are they built? Who's responsible for this program? And you eventually able to destroy the ship where the Dark Troopers are built, which is called the Arkham Ridge, which is probably one of the coolest and strangest ships in the Empire in Star Wars.
Yeah, they do some really interesting things with it. Like, it's very funny that it's like, well, you know, we have this Death Star, which can destroy entire planets with, you know, one zap. But yeah. This Dark Trooper thing. This is way more serious. They're killer robots. And like, I mean, they're pretty strong, but like there's an early cutscene where you see a bunch of them launched to a planet below and like, oh, the whole planet is like really devastated by these 20 robots or whatever. And like, still not a Death Star, man. But
yeah.
But the arc hammer itself is kind of cool. Like it, I mean, they call it a hammer, but it sort of looks like an anvil. There's a lot of interesting design things here. Like the Dark Troopers are kind of scary looking.
Yeah.
The levels take you to some interesting places. Some of it is kind of, you know, okay, that's, I get it. You know, we're on another ledge.
in a mine or an industrial planet or something. But yeah, there's a bunch of interesting design decisions. And before we started recording, we've talked about the fact that basically Dark Forces needed Doom to come out at the end of 1993 before it could be made. It would have been possible without Doom. But at the same time, Doom is still the bigger FPS today, but at the same time, there's so much more in Dark Forces than what's in Doom, basically, in terms of mechanics, in terms of diversity of what you have to do. Don't know if you agree with me or not on this.
Yeah, no, I think so. And the sort of, they were able to make fully 3D worlds in a way that Doom couldn't quite manage.
Yeah.
The ability to look up and down, which seems sort of rudimentary now, was, you know, when you look back at, like, actually kind of revolutionary. At the same time, like, you go to some of the later levels and, like, oh, you're on the Executor. Like, you're on the Executor. Darth Vader's, like, personal super giant Star Destroyer. And, you know, you don't really feel like you're on, like, one of the cooler ships in the Star Wars universe. It's like, okay, you know, more interior levels. But that's kind of the nature of these games at the time.
Yeah. And, you talked about 3D worlds. There's jumping in this game. And you have to jump a bunch of times.
Yes.
So would you like to get into the game mechanics?
Like, I had some difficulty with the platforming because I find, like, it's very easy to overshoot a ledge or mistime a jump. At least there are no ladders because ladder mechanics, they're still kind of terrible in whatever first-person shooter game you play. But around this time, they were not very good at all.
I mean, they were bad in Half-Life 3 years later. So you can imagine if that game had ladders. But yeah, the platforming. Oh god, there shouldn't be any platforming in an FPS game, even today. I think it's not useful. If you'd want to do some platforming, you can have a maybe a third-person game, or even better, a 2D game. But yeah, platforming in an FPS game is, and especially in Dark Forces, because you have to, there's a bunch of times, a bunch of different missions where you have to specifically get on a specific point where it's not, doesn't seem that it's supposed, you're supposed to go there, and it's not really clear that you absolutely have to get there in order to progress. So I think it's that the Dark Forces suffers from the we want to do everything fade. Is it a fade? A phase? I don't. Fade?
Is it, phase. That,
phase. Phase, yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. So thank you. My English event after 400 years of Anglo dominance. My English is not that good. Anyway, that was the political part of the episode. But yeah, so there's a bunch of time when, okay, we have to, absolutely have to put on some jumping here. We don't get the turret section. This is some, one thing that came afterwards. There's especially one, of course, in Jedi Outcast, for example. Mm. So, but now we don't get that at least. But yeah, jumping, running, timing your the timing, the time when you get into a room, for example, you have to get a special key and you have about 5 seconds to go through before you're crushed to death. There's a bunch of things like that that made me go, I'm just going to put in the code for invincibility for a while and just get through the game.
Yeah, I think there was some of that. And I also found some of the levels were like very easy to get lost or trapped in loops. And like the, I think it was a research facility where there's a part where you, like the ending part where you have to move the platforms around was kind of interesting. Like, okay, I got to go hit the switches, go down, go back up. But there were a few parts before that where I couldn't figure out like how to exit. And like, I figured out how to get the door open, but I just couldn't get to the door. And like, I'd get in circles and circles and circles. And this is sort of a problem of the era. And I think it was a major one of this one. Like, I know some people find the sewers very difficult, though I didn't this time through. But some of that level stuff is just, you get stuck in loops, or, you know, find yourself going around in circles, or just generally lost. That's not always like the most fun.
No, and I had to check a walkthrough a bunch of times just in order to get through some of those missions. There's a place, I think that's what you've been mentioning. There's a place where you have to go inside a prison, and there's three rings of locked doors that you have to unlock in a specific order in order to get to the center of that building. And once again, I was trying to figure it out in my head, and I hope I'm much better at this now, 20-ish years later, than I was when I was about 10 or 12 years old. But still, I needed to get the solution in front of me. And that's one of the things that it bugs me about the game, because the shooting is all right. The shooting it can even be good. A few times, and the most of the time it's quite all right. But after that, you get a bunch of shooting, and then you have a puzzle to solve.
Yeah.
And it tonally, I think the mix is not that efficient.
No, and I don't think the genre, especially with what they had in front of them, was necessarily well designed for puzzles. Like, even there's in that same research level, there was like a code that you had to put in, and I got the key card, and I had to find a walkthrough that just told me, like, look in your inventory, idiot, because that's where the code is. And I was like, oh, I've had it this whole time, and I've just been like, well, do I need three other pieces? Like, where's the rest?
Yeah.
But there were several moments like that. I thought it was very funny when at one level you get captured by Jabba the Hutt, and then you just have to punch a dragon to death, which
yeah,
well, like the first time through I'm looking for a way to escape, and I was like, oh, wait, I just got to punch this guy, don't I?
Yeah.
And you do.
Yeah, you do. And it's, once again, the idea of that this super badass guy that cannot be stopped is part Luke Skywalker, part Duke Nukem, part Doom Guy too. It's quite bizarre.
Well, I mean, and I guess this won't be a spoiler because if anyone's listened to the previous episodes, you know he's a Jedi.
Yeah.
But the Darth Vader gets a line at the end after, because he watches the whole the hammer get blown up, and he says, "Kyle Katarn, the Force is strong with this one." I'm not going to do a Darth Vader. I can't really do one. But he says the Force is strong with this one, and it's like, yeah. Okay, well, I mean, they set up the next game pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the same time, it's like,
yeah,
kind of like they clearly couldn't figure out how to do Jedi stuff quite yet.
Yeah.
It's like, we'll figure that out later. But you do get the sense that, like, this guy is a very good mercenary.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing that they were not able to. I mean, was it really something that they wanted to do in the first place? Because it's kind of, obviously, the 3D technology wasn't there yet when they published Jedi Knight a few years after that. Was it 97 for Jedi Knight?
I think it was 1997.
Yeah, and we've talked a bit about this game when we did our Jedi Outcast episode, but the 3D technology was horrible. We have to be honest there. It looked like shit. I mean,
yeah, they did some interesting. I really like that second game, but it is trying to do things that just it's not capable of yet.
Yeah, so I can't even imagine trying to because in Dark Forces you still have sprites for enemies. It's better than in Doom or Wolfenstein, but it's still back to the sprites era. Even if you get some 3D world and some very nice texture sometimes, but there's a bunch of places where you see the limitations of the engine, especially when you have anything that is moving. You get a bunch of moving platforms, and you see that the texture is just plain. It's just a plain texture because the graphics, because the graphical engine cannot show anything more than that.
Right.
And there was a funny point, and it's quite a bit technical, but there's a point where I don't know if it's part of the remaster, but there's a part in one mission where there's something that is moving, and clearly they try to slap a texture on something in order to do anything other than gray or dark or whatever. And I discovered that the texture isn't moving.
With the
part that is moving, it's just this somehow put an entire rectangle of something looking like the top of a machine or something. And the rotating platform is just showing a part of that rectangle. And it's not like the part is moving. It's like the part is it's like if you had glasses and the entire, the rest is just blacked out. And then when you move your head around, you see something new. So
I noticed that exact same thing. And I imagine that was sort of like, well, graphics engines just can't handle like rotating a texture, so let's just rotate an object around a texture. But it was an interesting thing to see left in. Though I will say, just on the sprites, I think they did a very good job with them in that they took the sprites that were there and they made them really nicely detailed and animated. Yeah. In the same style as the original, but really doing a nice job updating them. The weapons looked really good too, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. And once again, having this bigger freedom of movement in order to, well, basically shoot, kill everything that you see. it feels like, because there has been a craze, I think that's the right word, these past years, about boomer shooters, about retro shooters, and it's not, obviously, it's not as good as Turbo Overkill, for example. That's completely another league. But when you remember that this is almost a 30-year-old game, it feels nice. It feels great to be able to be back into that universe. And it's still Star Wars. I mean, Star Wars is still awesome. So if you're like us and you're too, you're also a older white man trying to cling to the past, you'll have some fun. And I think that's the objective has been achieved then.
Yes. No, absolutely. I think it's one of those things where you do see why modern games have like the yellow or white paint or whatever to show you where you're supposed to go next.
Yeah.
Because that friction does exist, and sometimes it can be frustrating. But at the same time, I think if this game had that sort of like, here's where you go next, dummy, it would not be quite as charming.
Yeah.
Though, you know, maybe the levels could have been designed just a little more, just so it was a little clearer, because sometimes you just cannot see where you're supposed to go. But it's the sort of thing that, you know, if occasionally you want to pop in a cheat code or take a peek at a walkthrough, like it's not a super long game, but it is quite enjoyable.
Yeah, it is. But I want to get into some specific, because once again, there's some irritants here and there.
Mm.
I want to talk about the weapons because there's 8 or 9 of them, something like that. A bunch of pistols, laser rifles, rocket launchers.
Blaster rifles.
Yeah, exactly. Blaster rifles. And obviously there's the iconic Stormtrooper rifle. And I believe I was able to get through about 80% of the game with only that rifle.
That's mostly what I did too. I found it to be... There was lots of ammunition around. It was accurate enough. Only took 3 or 4 shots for most enemies. Give me the Stormtrooper rifle. The other stuff is neat, but it's not neat enough for me to bother with.
Yeah, and that's maybe the problem, because obviously today when you do a shooter, you have to have your pistol. You have to have your submachine gun. You need your shotgun, and eventually you go up to the rocket launcher and the plasma rifle or whatever. But in Dark Forces, like we've said, you can basically just keep shooting with the first weapon you pick up in the game. And it takes about 10 seconds in the first mission, and then you get the iconic blaster rifle from the Stormtroopers. Mm-hmm. And then you're basically done-ish. So the game tries to not necessarily force you to use other weapons, but for example, you get a bunch of mines at one point.
Oh.
I don't think I ever used them. They're a pain in the ass when you walk over them.
The only time I used them, I killed myself and was like, okay, that's the last time I'm using the mines.
What about the grenades, Robert?
The grenades I did okay with, but... Yeah. Because a lot of the spaces are very confined, I avoided using the grenade. Like, there were a few spots where it was, especially when I think it first gave you a grenade.
Yeah.
One of the first spaces, at least that I remember, like, clearly, like, oh, I'm going to use a grenade here. Like, they clearly set up, like, 5 enemies in a very tight group. But, here's your grenade.
Yeah.
Throw it at that group. And, like, okay, I will. But for the most part, I was just like, give me my blaster rifle. Like, let's just go.
Yeah, exactly. And the first time they put a bunch of enemies around some suspicious white barrels or something, and they're not red, so it's not quite following the convention there, but it's like, oh, can I shoot that? Oh, yes, I can. And it explodes, and it's fun because it kills everyone. Just have to be prudent a bit when you're around them. But the enemies never shot me, never killed me by shooting the barrel. So it's not.
No, I did kill myself once by accidentally shooting a barrel that I was standing right next to. But no, I don't think another enemy killed me. And that's the thing with like the mines and so forth. It seemed like the enemies were pinned in.
Yeah.
So that you couldn't really lure them into traps, which made them difficult to use.
Yeah, the AI is... It's not. I mean, it's an AI from 1995. It basically, they'll walk around a bit. They'll attack you if they see you, and that's going to be it. But I think it's in a way a better, a funnier AI for a shooter than what it was in Jedi Outcast. Don't know if you remember the first, first two or three levels where you don't have your force powers, don't have the lightsaber, and the enemies are just moving around randomly.
Yeah. And it's that's very another hard game shoot. Where it, I think the AI was not great in that game, and the shooting wasn't very fun. It was a lightsaber game that didn't do that.
Yeah. Was there anything that you believe that the remaster made worse than the original game?
I don't think so. Nothing really stood out to me as like, oh, where did it, like, it just felt like a smoother, like, cleaner experience.
Yeah, I can see that. But I think go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, was there anything that stood out to you? Because it didn't feel to me like they were doing something that I wouldn't have done or wouldn't have wanted.
I think there's a bit of a problem with the sound and voice mix in the cutscenes, but that's about it. And I think the music in general clearly it's the nostalgia talking because we're it's compressed MIDI music. So they that's very nice that they had the rights to use the Star Wars music. I mean, I hope so. It was made by LucasArts, which was part of Lucasfilm. So obviously I hope they got the rights.
Yeah, John Williams got his credit at the end.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so in the remaster, maybe it's me just 30 years later saying, wow, that was it that bad at the time? But yeah, a bit of a
mix. That's funny, because I really liked, at least in the levels, I enjoyed the music. I thought it was it had a good vibe. I think it would have been strange if they had changed it. But yeah, the cutscenes, it could be a bit, the mix wasn't always there.
Yeah, but I remember specifically when you start the last mission on the Arcamera, you just escape the Executor and on a small refueling ship or something. And just before you get out of that, the landing bay, and you start shooting everything, and the music picks up. You have this whole orchestra swelling up. There's this very, very badass, very noble and heroic music going on. And I remember at the time at the end of the 90s, just waiting in that bay in order to the music to pick up and just be. Just feel like a hero, feel like Luke Skywalker. And then I open the door and there's about 10 stormtroopers and I just start getting them down. And yeah, but besides that, I mean, like we've talked, the movement is smoother. The cutscenes are better. I mean, at least on a visual sense.
Yeah.
They did.
I don't think they made any serious changes to them. It seems like everything was like, let's refine this. So it's still what it was, but now it you can run it at, you know, full HD or did you try it at 4K? I'm curious.
I mean, I don't know if it was 4K on my monitor, but I played it on the 27 inches and it was perfect. No problem at all. It was, like I said, very smooth. There's no screen tearing or anything on your artifacts or whatever. And it was very fun. One last thing, you talked about the inventory screen a few minutes ago, and I don't know why they did it like that, but it's something. It's like they had two screens.
Yeah.
When you wanted to go check on your key cards, and I knew from experience that you had to check the codes on the key cards in order to open certain doors.
I had forgotten that completely. As I mentioned.
That's quite all right. But yeah, so you press escape. And instead of showing you everything. You have then to press another button to access the old inventory system. And it feels like they forgot, or they were able to just change it the way they liked, or so they just left it there.
Yeah, it was strange because they added in a weapon wheel like you'd find in a which I discovered by accident. I didn't even realize I had it, but there was like a sort of like a console style weapon wheel.
Yeah.
But yeah, it still had the old. So it's a strange mix of new and old in parts like that. But again, like these are sort of small,
yeah,
like narrow issues.
Yeah. Would you, one of the main things that made me, well, take a step back and try to think about if I really wanted to buy this game was the price. I think it was $35 when it launched.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still at $30 US on Steam right now, which is about 35 Canadian dollars, something like that. It's 35, exactly. 35.09. Why the 9 cents? I don't know. But yeah, is it worth it for $35?
I would say that May the 4th is coming up, and there are always very large Star Wars sales on that day.
yeah, exactly.
So that, I understand why it probably costs that much. Like, these days, just games cost a lot more, and, like, inflation, yada, yada, yada. But 35 is kind of steep. Like, it's a really well-done, solid piece of work. But if you're a real Dark Forces head, I mean, you probably already have it, but if you're just looking for that kind of nostalgia hit and just seeing what it's like, it's definitely a buy on sale kind of game for me, I would say.
Yeah. And because you can still buy the old one and just play. I mean, obviously it's not as beautiful, it's not as smooth, but you can find some workarounds. But yeah, so you can still buy the old one. So it's $35, like you said, is a bit steep. But I can understand the point, because when the game came out, a bunch of people were like a bit yelling a bit loud on Twitter and elsewhere, saying, "Oh, why is it so pricey?" And people from Night Dive responded, "Well, it took a lot of work. It's a produce that we made as a job, so we have to get paid."
And I think that the price, when you look compared to other games right now, I think it makes sense. It's just that it is. Games are very expensive, and sometimes it's tough to say, like, "Yeah, pay full price for that."
And obviously, there's no multiplayer, there's no expansions, there's no. So you can, once you've completed the game in what, 4 or 5 hours, maybe, at most, that's it. So besides being able to keep it as a cultural product, it's maybe harder to accept the fact that it's going to cost you $35.
Yeah, no, I'd say that's about right.
Would you still recommend it though?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. It's the sort of thing that if you like this sort of thing and you don't find the price excessive, that it's great, and you know, sales come up frequently.
Yeah, as you said, exactly. I would still recommend it too, just because it's Dark Forces, man. I mean, it's cool. Calcaton is awesome, and it's once again, if you have around our age, you've grown up with not as much as a Star Wars desert, I would say, but. I mean, you went to see the special edition in theaters. Mm-hmm. You read the books. You've played the game. And so you've played the, and specifically you played the games on the family PC, the beige tower, and so on and so on. And so it, the nostalgia factor is quite high. I mean, for at least for me, I'm guessing for you too.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, yeah, if you want to spend, I mean, it's a, like you said, there's a, if there's a sale going on, go for it. And otherwise, you can, as I said, also, it's, you can still buy the old one on Steam, on GOG. So, I mean, it's there and it's enjoyable and it's fun and it's a good game. So I think I think that about covers it.
Yeah. And you, sir, any final thoughts? Any final thoughts from the small boy?
I mean, your guest is, I think, is he's quite interesting. Not sure he understands everything yet. But yeah, he's, at least he has a great fascination for the microphone. So that's a good step.
Got to start him out on podcasting early.
Yeah, exactly. Is he going to ask us to subscribe to something or to buy the supplements on the... or the merch.
I see a bunch of Patreons in my future.
Thank you very much, Robert, for playing Dark Forces and talking about it with me today.
Always a pleasure, Hugo.
And of course, people who are listening right now, thank you very much for being here. It is a promise. We will talk about Duke Nukem 3D next time. Sooner than 6 months, we hope, but we never know what happens in life. I'm guessing you're done for now with babies, Robert. You know, no number two are coming in the coming months.
One is, we're pretty happy with one.
That's quite all right.
And I mean, he's done very well. This has been, what, 40 minutes?
Sorry. Yeah, absolutely. And everything is going well. And I don't have any kids on the way right now either. So I think we're good for a little bit of time. Thank you again, Robert. And thank you, everyone who is listening. If you want to catch up on previous episodes, we are on pf.ca. We're also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.